o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. We get through our last couple of calls here, and then in a surprising upset, we're actually going to have time to play trivia today? That can't be true. Tausch has got to derail us before that happens. Let's go back to the phones. The Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776. And go to Mike in Texas. Mike, man, you held on a long time. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks. Well, I'll say I had no expectations before this game. I mean, I saw someone who had a shirt on, not me personally, but Matt Rampage. He met someone in New York, he had a shirt that says that we almost always almost win. And that's so true this season. Every game, you don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. And as the last caller echoed, this season is wacky. I mean, teams up and down, Jaguars destroy the Chargers. So, I mean, we can see the four best teams in NFC, but still, I mean, yeah, they didn't play great, but it was a win. I felt good, but it didn't make me feel like, hey, this told us anything.
Yeah, I don't feel any better, worse. I don't really feel differently, other than the fact that, you know, we're talking about Jordan Love, and I'd be curious, Mike, if you agree with this. You know, Tausch said it's one of his best games, if not his best game. I don't want to misquote him. I can't remember exactly how he put it earlier. But
in the last two seasons.
Was it also Matt LaFleur's best game in a while?
Like, I thought he had a good day. Yeah.
I saw some crossing routes where, now, Romeo didn't catch all of them, but one of my criticisms had been, where are the crossers that are such a key part of this offense? If they're playing their safeties back, why aren't you getting some intermediate stuff successfully? Yeah. I thought that they did that more. Now, some of them were dropped. But, Mike, sure. Did you feel better about what Matt LaFleur did yesterday as well?
Yeah, actually, throughout the game, I thought I was confident in what he was doing. He had some good throws. I mean, the drops was frustrating, but I was surprised, actually, for him to come back out in the game. But it didn't feel stagnant, and maybe part of it was because Jacobs wasn't in the game. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Mike, are you in Big Cat's club, Mike?
No, I'll just make an observation.
Mike?
That was just an observation. I don't know. That was just
okay.
Funny stuff.
You're not saying, but you're not saying is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well played, Mike. We appreciate your loyalty to the show, and thanks for the call. All right. So whether you are or aren't a subscriber to the Big Cat theory, I don't know what you're rooting for then, right? Because I would personally argue it's good news that Josh Jacobs averted serious injury. Would you like to have a game where they play it safe with him against the Vikings and not have him play? So you can see what happens when he doesn't? If you're in that crowd, I'm guessing you'd like him to, hey! Take it easy, all right? Let's let Lucas Haversick handle the running back duties if we have to. Just take the week off. And obviously it would be Emmanuel Wilson. Because everyone loves Lucas Haversick until he misses two extra points. So then they don't love him as much. That's why I said that.
Well, I thought you had him running the football. I think that you'll probably err on the high side of caution with Josh Jacobs, but mm-hmm. We will find out. There's no doubt I think you're going to see more. Even if Josh Jacobs does play, I think that this is going to be one of those. Matt LaFleur is going to watch that tape and watch what Jordan did yesterday and say, we got to let Jordan eat. We got to let him get out the starting blocks, and we just got to let him run. We don't need to keep bringing him back. Let him eat. And, factor everything else in off of that, and then you can always rein him back in if you need to later. But I think he showed yesterday, and I think he's shown the second half of that Pittsburgh game, this team is going to go offensively where Jordan takes you. And yesterday I thought he did enough good things to obviously find a way to beat a bad football team.
All right, we appreciate all the calls that we got today. Now it's time to make another call to play trivia. A rare Monday round of trivia. Hasn't happened in a while, but we're going to play now.
I would have guessed that we'd have all these texts that we never get to because we always have calls going all the way to noon. And that's what I would have guessed, but maybe we don't. I don't know. Maybe there aren't any texts. Maybe Carbless talking text line is dead. I don't. Maybe there's nobody there. I don't know.
I think this is a good thing because starting today, Wilde and Tausch trivia is not
that was
only
a pregnant pause.
Wilde and Tausch trivia is not only presented by Cousin Subs, with a chance to win a Cousin Subs gift card at the end of the week. Mm. It is also presented by Iron Jock with a chance to win Iron Jock swag in addition to the Cousin Subs gift card.
So we'll have two different winners. One will get Iron Jock and one will get Cousin Subs?
No, one winner gets the whole package, Cousins and Iron Jock, at the end of the week.
Okay.
How about it?
It's pretty cool.
What caller would you like there, old T?
Well, I am only in charge when I'm giving away those beautiful lightweight hoodies, so I am not going to go in charge of the trivia side of it, so I will abstain from this.
Okay, I'll take it.
And I'll let Geriad, formerly of 565 Analytics, Geriad can text in and let us know what number.
Has that been disbanded?
I want to keep... I shut it down. Yeah, it's done.
Oh, so it's closed. It's shuttered. I thought you just fired the staff. You're telling me that you filed for Chapter 11 after not paying your employees?
No, I didn't say we filed. I just said that the 565 Analytics firm is no longer doing Steinhoffels. They can do trivia. They can do other stuff.
You just said you closed up shop. So which is it? Are they still open or not?
They are not open on Steinhoffels. They are closed.
Caller 27. Caller 27, because the Packers, when they win, they score 27 points. It seems to be their number. Caller 27 for trivia, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 27 to play Wilde and Tausch trivia. That's next after I tell you about Lakeland Supply. What a great partner Vince and his team have been. After the Packers season is over, I'm going to head down there and see their whole operation. Now, you know me. This is not my area of expertise. This is Vince and his team at Lakeland Supply's expertise when it comes to supply chain assessments and packaging. They are the best in the business. And core values are an important piece of any successful business. And Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland is one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up that free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I think Tausch made a fair point. If you text it into the Carbless Talk and text line, Jesse has generously agreed to surrender some of his Whoa Nelly time for you to share, or for him to share your text messages on the Carbless Talk and text line. List is more. But first, we must play trivia.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock. Cousin Subs' $10 meal deal gives you a 7.5-inch sub, bag of chips or regular fries, fountain drink, and a cookie, all for just $10. This deal is only available online or through the Cousins app.
Let's welcome in our contestant, and he is a first-time contestant. Are you kidding me? It is John in... Sorry, Jesse, I've got graphics and everything else. John
Minnesota.
Is a first-time contestant. John in St. Paul, Minnesota, which means he's ineligible for all the great prizes that we offer to our winners. Hi, John.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. I'm coming home from a weekend in Milwaukee, so... calling and playing for the love of the show.
Well, wait, stop the car. Stop the car. Pull over to the side of the road. If you win, then you can say you were in Milwaukee. When you played, you'd be eligible for the prizes.
No.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Official right, contest rules and eligibility can be found at ESPNWisconsinContest.com.
Maybe Jesse will someday
like
read them.
Oh, good. Pretty easy. You could lie real easy.
You could. John, question one is this. The Buffalo Bills win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers featured a final score that has never happened before in NFL history, also known as a score-agami. What was the final score of that game? Was it 41-34?
44-32.
All right, John. What's my next question? I'm just kidding. Question two.
Missed opportunity to say the score 6-7.
Yeah, he ruined that for you. Yeah, I think that joke is dead. Question two, John, is this. Which NFL team scored the fewest points on Sunday? Was it the Los Angeles Chargers, the Detroit Lions, or the Tennessee Titans?
That would be the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow, you are cooking.
But he's good. John knows his stuff.
How many points did the Chargers score?
That would be 6.
In a 35-6 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, John, clean sweep. Opportunity for someone other than you to have had 4 entries into the drawing. Question 3 is this. The Milwaukee Bucks played a pair of games over the weekend. Which one of these opponents did the Milwaukee Bucks not play? Was it the Los Angeles Lakers, the Charlotte Hornets, or the Cleveland Cavaliers?
They did not play the Lakers.
Oh, no! They did play the Lakers. And they lost to them.
Doncic.
Also, they played the Charlotte Hornets, both in Charlotte and in Milwaukee.
Overtime Friday night.
Con Knipple returning to Milwaukee. So the correct answer is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who the Bucks are playing tonight, I believe. Jesse, is that correct?
6 o'clock tonight. That's a Peacock game, Tausch.
Big Peacock.
What's
guy.
That?
Oldie.
You can also listen to it on 620 WTMJ and Madison's home of the Bucks, 100.5. ESPN, televised on Peacock, exclusively streaming Bucks Cavaliers.
John, safe travels back to St. Paul, Minnesota. We appreciate you playing, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock. Performance apparel that actually performs. No stink, just performance. And proudly Wisconsin built. Shop now at ironjock.com.
That is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. We have caught up a little bit on our clock management, and we'll get to a hybrid of Whoa Nelly and your text messages on the Carbless Talkin' text line next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good for nothing, no common.
So Jesse has a conundrum.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's...
Hey, why did... what's the scoop on Heath? What'd you hear? You're digging around up there.
I didn't hear nothing.
Why?
Nobody wants to discuss it. It's disciplinary, from what I can gather. It's the best I can do.
Okay. Good deal.
What have you heard?
I'm not a reporter, so I don't know.
You're an analyst.
Thank you.
Jesse, you have texts. You now have a call. You have the desire for all your quality content that you've generated through AI. For Whoa Nelly, what would you like to select we do next?
Let's start with a text, because I do feel like we neglect some of the texters on game reaction days, so having some opportunities to review them, I think we should do that at least to start here.
Almost as much as we neglect your YouTube friends.
And
yes. Go ahead.
And I want to say something about this. So here is Dan in Janesville. I'll read it for you. Jason, question for you. Do you think if LaFleur had lost yesterday, he would have gotten fired today or after the game like McCarthy did in 2018 midseason? I don't agree with the negative banter on LaFleur. Do you know how hot the seat actually is? Is it Super Bowl or bust or at least one playoff win?
Yeah, I don't think he would have gotten fired. I don't. I don't. I understand people get frustrated. I don't think that Ed Policy is in the business of changing the way they do things. The fact that they knee-jerk fired Mike McCarthy the way they did, I think in retrospect, there was some regret there for how they handled it. I also thought it was disingenuous to claim that it gave Joe Philbin an opportunity to prove that he should be the guy. They were never going to hire Joe Philbin. I think Joe Philbin knew that. So I don't think they would have fired him. I think it would have certainly turned up the temperature on his seat, and it would have increased the possibility of him being dismissed at the end of the season. But no, I never thought that. As far as my opinion, and this is not, I've not talked to Ed Policy and said, hey, how hot is Matt's seat? I do think that to be certain that he's not going anywhere, I do think they need to win a playoff game. That doesn't necessarily mean that if they don't win a playoff game, he's getting fired. But I don't know. I don't feel like we've been so quick to drop the fired word on past coaches. Or maybe I'm misremembering the Mike McCarthy era. But like even when things went bad during some seasons, I don't feel like there were as many people that were using the F word, fire, as they seem to be with Matt LaFleur this year. Am I palming that, Tausch?
I remember you, I think publicly, I'm always a little nervous about this, I think you said publicly that season you felt and sensed that even Mike and other people within the organization knew if things went not swimmingly, they were going to move on.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I did say that. Yes, I did.
Do you feel that way?
I didn't think they'd do it in season.
Sure. No, I know. That was a shock to everybody. And that's. But do you feel like, I think fan-wise, there's more we need to let go of Matt LaFleur than I remember people doing that with Mike? Mm-hmm. In that season, but I don't feel the same way. I haven't sensed anyone within the organization saying it. I think it's more of a wait and see, and the fact that Ed Policy hasn't handed out extensions to anybody is the reason that is even broached.
Yes, I do think that Ed's saying that, and obviously Ed is a smart guy. He knew what he was saying when he told us that at the end of the off-season program, when he said he doesn't believe in lame ducks, and he also doesn't want to give them each an extension before the season. I think that's how that works, is when you say those two things, and both the general manager and the head coach have one more year left on their deals next year, people are going to speculate, and I think that's what's happening.
Correct.
Jesse, now what?
I have a text from Jana in Pittsburgh. We haven't seen from
hey,
in a while.
Have you Where's she been? What is she doing?
Well, here's what Jana says. It's astonishing how quickly my hope for the Packers season was extinguished.
Oh, you gotta have hope.
There were times I thought they really could do it this year, but the initial hit was Tucker Kraft, add the resulting Carolina loss, and then within the last 2 weeks, I've gotten to a place where I'd be surprised if this team was any more than a wild card with a first-round exit. Jana in Pittsburgh.
Jana? More like Debbie in Downersville.
Or Timmy Lasso. Jana Lasso, Timmy.
Jana Lasso, Timmy.
I think Jana is hitting on what a lot of people feel, though. I'm not one of them. I just think that season is just getting rolling. And I'm optimistic because of what we saw from Jordan yesterday. If he could play like that and the defense, you know, just shores up a little bit and is still able to do what they're able to do, this team could beat anybody in the NFC. Now, they can also lose to anybody in the NFC. Literally. No, they could. I mean, they could lose to Minnesota on Sunday.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. Yep.
And we don't have evidence that he's going to play like he did yesterday for the rest of the season. We've had some inconsistency from him, right? We've definitely seen that.
That is correct.
All right, Jesse. Now what?
All right, Mo in Illinois called in. I heard him on the post-game show yesterday with Tausch and Homer, Green Bay game night after every game, final whistle on ESPN Wisconsin. He wanted to get in at the buzzer here. I think we let him do it.
All right. Hey, Mo! How you doing?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Last night I called in, and Tausch, if you recall, I told you that I was feeling even more discouraged after that game last night.
Yep.
I kind of sat on it a little bit, and I kind of understand why. And I think it mainly comes from the defensive side, believe it or not. Tausch, you had mentioned multiple times that you think we have a championship-level defense, and I disagree. I disagree completely. And the reason why I say that is because I think this defense has a terrible tendency of making subpar quarterbacks or average offenses look better than they look. I think yesterday, you know, given Jameis Winston's performance, I thought he was – he was dicing us off. I mean, I told you, he looked like James Brady out there. And the main concern is from the pass rush. Other than Micah Parsons, I don't trust anyone on that defensive line to generate enough pressure. I don't trust him. I don't trust Rashawn Gary. I don't even know that he played last night. I don't trust the interior defensive line. The secondary, we don't have a prove it alpha dog back there. I don't believe in Nixon at all. Carrington's a dog, but that's really it. If we have a championship-level defense, Tausch, I don't know who on this defense you could count on other than Micah Parsons and Xavier McKinney every single game. So that's my concern, and I feel the same way on the offensive side of the ball with the wide receivers. I don't believe in any of them, to be honest, to make that big-time play, even though Watson did yesterday, on a consistent basis. I don't trust them.
Okay. Yeah, you have every right to feel that way. And I said this earlier, I don't think Devontae Wyatt, he has not been as impactful since he's come back from that injury.
That's the second year in a row.
Quay Walker, it sounds as if Quay Walker's going to be all right. I know there was some concerns after yesterday. Edger and Cooper's made big plays. It didn't seem like he showed up in a big way yesterday. He obviously had the big play against Philadelphia, and I believe in Edger and Cooper. I think he is a dog and can do that. But your questions on the other guy's rush, incredibly fair. I think that is an incredibly fair point. Rashawn Gary, while he's still on pace to have his record-setting season for his career on sacks, he has not been as impactful as I thought he would be with the Parsons effect in play. So all of those things. Matter of fact, I think I saw something on Twitter that J.J. Anagbare had more reps than Rashawn Gary yesterday. Don't understand that. Somebody explain that to me, unless Rashawn was hurt. I don't get that.
I don't think so. He was on the field for that last play.
So, yes, I think your concern level, I think when you have someone like Micah, you have a game changer. And when you have a game changer, you can close up shop like they did yesterday. That is an important aspect of championship caliber defense.
Thanks for the call, Mo. We appreciate you. Well, now I'm really curious. Because the view of the defense, I don't know if I've felt that way. I wonder if more people feel that way. We can get into that maybe tomorrow. For now, we just need to get Tausch to get into how much he loves Coors Light.
Yeah, I do that pretty consistently. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. It's refreshingly cold, only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, at Golden, Colorado.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
So, Tausch, in the final analysis, since I'm sure not everyone is able to listen to all 3 hours consecutively, nor can they listen on Spotify, but they can listen on the ESPN Wisconsin app if they like to listen after the fact. Ultimately, where do you land on your own question that we preemptively polled coming into today's show of whether you feel better or worse about the Green Bay Packers than you did before their win yesterday over the Giants?
Yeah, I felt better about it because of how Jordan Love played. And I think that's such a big piece of what this team is going to need to make the kind of playoff push and playoff run that they're hoping for. I believe this defense is going to be good enough. I don't think yesterday was its best moments, but they were able to still do enough to win. So there's a lot. Anytime you win a road game in this league, you better celebrate it, enjoy it, and learn from the mistakes that you have made. And when your quarterback plays his best game in 2 years, I feel really good about that. Now, the drops, that stuff's got to get corrected yesterday.
That is it for us today. We will have plenty more tomorrow, and I believe we have a scheduled surprise guest tomorrow.
That'll be fun. Don't tell
me. I would say he's Hall of Fame caliber. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.